Now on The Pulse, useful and healthy information for you and your family. It's Northeast Delta Dental Radio with Tom Raffio and the Northeast Delta Dental Team.
Welcome to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. I'm Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio, and I'm also the head coach of the dental insurance company known as Northeast Delta Dental. Here we are already September 13th and 14th, depending on when you're listening to this, and it's about a year has passed since the first New Hampshire exchange became relevant, and it took about 3 or 4 months before the public exchanges really became vibrant and ready for use for the citizens of New Hampshire. But a year later, we have close to 2,000 New Hampshire citizens who have purchased individual dental insurance, a standalone dental program off of the New Hampshire Exchange. So it was definitely worth the effort for Northeast Delta Dental to stick with it and to work with the federal government as well as our state Department of Insurance to make sure that we could work efficiently with the public exchange. Our private exchange, which we did in parallel because we knew the first year of the public exchange might be a little difficult for New Hampshire citizens to navigate it. So we created a private exchange called DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. So in the first few months of the public exchange, people were having difficulty, we just steered people to our private exchange, DeltaDentalCoversMe.com. And already about 5,000 individuals have purchased dental coverage through our private exchange. So between the two, about 7,000 citizens of New Hampshire. And through our research, most of those people did not have dental coverage before. And this is not Delta Dental propaganda, but in general, if you have dental insurance, you tend to go to the dentist a lot more frequently than if you don't have dental coverage. If you want to know more about that strategy and why we engaged the Affordable Care Act and we weren't into denial, you can read about it in my book, There Are No Do-Overs. You can get that on Amazon.com, or you can go right here in Gibson's on Main Street and you can pick it up. And the co-author was Dave Cowens, a basketball player, so there's a lot of fun stuff in there, so it's not your typical boring business book. This weekend for my running friends, on Sunday, if you're listening to this on the 14th at 10 o'clock, if you can go down to Manchester, it's the 10 o'clock, the halfway to St. Patrick's Day road race. Great fundraiser, and you can go on coolrunning.com if you want details on that. So hopefully I'll see my running friends on Sunday after you listen to this show at 7:05. Get yourself ready and get down to the Wild Rover. So one of the beautiful things about this radio station is that it's into partnering with the community and community partners, and it has given me an opportunity to really get the word out on a number of issues, such as, you know, the Friendly Kitchen. In fact, last weekend we had a great race here right out at NHTI and raised a lot of money for the Friendly Kitchen. We've had the New Hampshire Food Bank on. So just about every not-for-profit and every well-meaning organization in New Hampshire has appeared on this radio show. And with me today, and it's a rather serious topic, it's the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness, and with me is the Executive Director, Ellen Groh, and a board member, Maggie Fogarty. Welcome, ladies, Ellen and Maggie. Thank you for joining me on this 13th and 14th of September.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you.
Now, Ellen, I know you're the Executive Director, but let's start with Maggie, a board member. First, Maggie, why don't you describe your full-time position and then your role as a board member, and then we'll get into the mission and history of the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness.
Sure, thank you. So I'm the Associate Director of the New Hampshire Program for the American Friends Service Committee, which is a Quaker justice and peace organization. And we do a lot of work on policy and coalition building and community-based work related to economic and social justice in New Hampshire. So in that capacity, I have been very supportive of the work of the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness and have been a board member for probably 5 years, I guess.
Wow, and you have a great radio voice, so don't be thinking of taking my job, because I love my radio work. It gets me away from the stress. Okay, so you're a board member. How many board members do you have on the Concord Coalition?
Well, I think that we're probably 10. Forgive me, I could pause and count up faces around the table, but I think we're about 10. We just brought on a couple of new board members, and it's a working board.
Working board and an all-volunteer group. Yeah. Now, Ellen, you have been executive director for how long?
Just started in February.
So it must have been that, Maggie, you must have had a committee that did a search to find Ellen?
We did.
And where did you find her?
Well, we did a broad search, and we interviewed a number of excellent candidates who had different kinds of experiences. A lot of people with direct human service experience, actually. But we knew that what we were looking for this position was someone who could build the kind of strategic collaboration that we knew would be essential in Concord in order to implement what has recently been adopted by the Concord City Council, which is a plan to end homelessness.
And we will certainly get to that. And having met with Ellen and a colleague on that plan, I can tell you, you made a great hire. She definitely has a strategy involved. So either Maggie or you, Ellen, let's talk about the mission and history of the coalition. And then maybe after commercial break, we'll get into the five goals of the Concord City plan to end homelessness.
All right. Well, why don't I start off with some of our early years?
Sure. That'd be great.
So the Concord Coalition End Homelessness formally came together in 2008 when a lot of homeless service providers in the community, Community Action, Friends Emergency Housing, McKenna House, and others came together with a lot of partners from the faith community and said, how can we work together and collaborate more deeply to really improve how homeless services are delivered here and make the kind of change that would reduce homelessness in Concord. And one of the first priority projects of the coalition was to address the unmet needs of people who were staying at the Concord Cold Weather Shelter. So we're now in the 10th year here in Concord of the faith community providing critically needed cold weather shelter beds during the winter months. So about 100 days of shelter every year in these churches, in First and South Congregational churches. But since folks were coming in at 7 p.m. and leaving at 7 a.m., we weren't, with that volunteer structure, able to connect them effectively with housing, rental housing, job possibilities, the kinds of benefits, whether veterans benefits or TANF or Social Security disability, that would create some housing security for them. So the Concord Homeless Resource Center was created to address that need. And we started with a very part-time staff person in a basement of South Church. A few years ago, we moved into free space given to us by South Congregational Church, and we are there to this day at South State Street and seeing hundreds of people in a year. But now with more staff people and case managers. And so that one-on-one case management happens there, as well as a lot of smaller but essential supportive services. Like we give people an address where their mail can be sent or a phone number where a prospective landlord can call them back to say whether an apartment is available. On a regular basis, we have haircuts, free haircuts available. But building that program took a lot of energy. It took time and fundraising to support a modest budget for that place. So I would say we neglected or didn't tend to as robustly as we needed to the coalition building the strategic collaboration that we really know will help us to end homelessness in Concord. So more recently, we began to push and guide the creation of a steering committee to end homelessness in Concord. And the fruits of that labor were the adoption by the City Council of the plan in April of this year.
Which we'll get to after commercial break. Now, Ellen, when you were hired, it was the idea that half your time would be spent on this coalition work and the plan implementation, and then half the time running the Resource Center?
Yes, that's the
plan.
And
how is that working out so far?
It's working out. It's I will say it's two very different jobs. The being at the Resource Center and supervising what happens there is great because it's very in the weeds, if you will. I'm really seeing exactly what the needs of people are and right up front. And the coalition work is more balcony level work, trying to work on solutions. So it's in some ways it's nice to have a foot in both doors. But it is it's a big job. It's a challenging job. I won't dispute that.
Well, like I said, I think they have the right person for the job. Now, this is New Hampshire, Maggie, as you know.
Yes.
And anytime I do this radio show, and we have a number of compelling organizations, but I always get the question offline, but are there taxpayer dollars going to this? So you'd mentioned the funding. I know you have a website, one word, helpendhomelessness.org. And are funds raised? How do you raise funds? And I know you mentioned the churches involved as well. So how does you sustain yourself?
So the work of ending homelessness absolutely requires taxpayer dollars in various forms, federal, state, municipal dollars, along with faith community dollars and other forms of private and business contributions. The budget of the Concord Coalition and Homelessness right now does not include tax dollars. We have a lot of individual contributions, people who send us $10 checks and say thank you so much. We have grants from funders like the Granite United Way, in the past, from the New Hampshire Charitable Foundation, from the Coalition of Churches from Rotary, Merrimack County Savings Bank. But as we move more deeply into implementation of this plan, we will be advocating for more federal dollars, more state dollars, and additional support from the city of Concord so that we can deliver on this plan. Because ending homelessness is a great return on taxpayer dollars.
You get it. Great point. Now, we have a lot of LOTs. Those are listeners of Tom that they listen while they're shaving or they're getting up, and they say, oh my God, it was so compelling, and they want to give. So if I'm now listening and I want to write a check or send some money, would I just go on your website, helpendhomelessness.org?
We've got a shorter address now.
It's perfect.
ConcordHomeless.org.
That's even better. And yeah. So there would be an opportunity just by going on there to donate.
That's right. And you'll see more about the good work of the Resource Center. You can read the plan to end homelessness, which includes lots of data about the services and the numbers for Concord. So, yeah, there's lots of information at that website, including a way to donate.
Okay, after commercial break, I want to talk about the causes of homelessness, but also get right into the plan to end homelessness. Tom Raffio will return with Ellen Groh, Executive Director, and Maggie Fogarty, Board Member from the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness. Please stay tuned. Welcome back to Northeast Delta Dental Radio. Tom Raffio for Northeast Delta Dental Radio. And I really love my radio work, even though today's topic, which is homelessness, isn't necessarily the most uplifting topic. It does provide an opportunity for us to educate the community getting involved with the radio. And quite candidly, being on the radio is a lot less stressful sometimes than dealing with the impacts of the Affordable Care Act. Although you heard before the commercial break that we engaged the Affordable Care Act, and we now have between the public and private exchange about 7,000 individuals who have purchased individual dental coverage who would not have had it before without the impetus of the Affordable Care Act. Quick reminder, my road racing friends, if you're listening to this on Sunday, get down to Manchester at 10 o'clock for the halfway to St. Patrick's Road Race, a 5K, a great fundraiser. Now, with me this weekend is Ellen Groh, who's the Executive Director of the Concord Coalition to End Homelessness, and Maggie Fogarty, who's been a passionate board member for seven years or so. And let's start with the mission, of course, is to eliminate the cause of homelessness for the residents of Concord through a coordinated, committed, and active effort of our many stakeholders. So talk about the original steering committee, Maggie, and how you've created that plan to end homelessness, and then you can tee that up for Ellen.
Great. So with leadership from Mayor Boulay, a member of our own CCEH board, David Friedman, and Patrick Tufts from the Granite United Way, we created a steering committee that represents some excellent municipal officials from fire and police, the mayor himself, leaders from our business community, direct providers of homeless services. We had representation from the state's Bureau of Homeless and Housing Services. So a lot of different perspectives were brought to the creation of a plan that articulated some goals. It's a general plan. I'm sure Ellen will describe it in greater detail. But that process lasted more than a year of hearing about some best practices, really working with some of the Concord data so we could get a clearer picture of what the need is, where the gaps are. And so when the city council finally adopted this plan in April 2014, we saw while that was the end of that steering committee's work to create a plan, that it really was the very beginning of a new way of thinking about and planning for ending homelessness in Concord.
And then let me turn to Ellen, since, as I mentioned before the break, that about half of your full-time responsibilities are to implement these five goals. Why don't you describe the five goals and where you are with them?
Sure. So they are broad goals, and my job is to kind of put the meat on them, I would say. The first goal is to increase access to safe places for people who are homeless. So that includes three things. One is expanding the resource center that is currently in very small donated space. The second part of that goal is to increase outreach to people who never make it to any agency, who are living down by the railroad tracks or wherever they are, to reach out to those people. And the third is to increase the shelter and housing first opportunities that we have in Concord. And housing first is an approach to providing permanent housing for people without requiring that they address any substance abuse or mental health issues that they have, that they that those resources are available to them, but they're not required, and just getting those people into permanent housing. So that's all the first goal. The second goal is to just increase the number of affordable, high-quality rental units that Concord has for very low-income families and individuals. The third goal is to increase knowledge in Concord about homelessness, both the issues around homelessness and the cost to the community of homelessness and the services that are available.
Now, let's pause there on mm-hmm. goal number three.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe you can broadly describe how extensive is the problem. When I'm out in the community and I talk, sometimes I'm talking about, you know, food insecurity, or we've had Riverbend on here as a guest. And I think all of these food insecurity, drug problems, and alcohol addiction, homelessness, some of it is all related. So I'm pretty connected with this. And when I try to explain this in the community, sometimes people don't believe how extensive the issue is in Concord. So maybe stop there for a second. And I guess if you think one of your roles is to increase knowledge about homelessness.
Right.
So
here's our chance.
Here's your 2 minutes.
Right. So I would say it's hard, it's very difficult to get an accurate number of the people who are homeless in Concord for many reasons. Some people are just off the radar. They're not reporting in to anyone. They're living in their car, so they're hard to count. And people move in and out of Concord. They may be here for a long time, or they may just be passing through for a week or two. So that is one of the real challenges of this work, is to get accurate data about how many people we're trying to serve. So we are trying to address that part of the issue. I will say that at our resource center, we see, for the last several years, we've seen about 500 different individuals come through our resource center. Some of them may have come once, some of them may come 100 times or more. So it varies widely, but 500 different people come through every year. Another sort of get a feel for the issue, the cold weather shelters each year, they can house about 60 people at a time. They have 60 beds available during those winter shelters. And they saw last year 160 different people coming in and out of those beds. And 35 of those people stayed for over 2 months. So that kind of points to the difference between people who are maybe acutely homeless for a very brief period of time because some emergency happened. They were on the edge and some emergency happened, and people who are chronically homeless who may have mental health issues or substance abuse disorder that's adding to their issues of being homeless.
Well, you've done a really nice job of getting that word out already. So tell us about goals 4 and 5.
Okay. Goal 4 is to increase the public and private funding for the plan's implementation. And goal 5 is to make sure that that there's broad representation and engagement of all the different stakeholders in finding solutions. And so that includes expanding the participation in our coalition to end homelessness, and also creating an executive level steering committee. And we're in the process of creating that now. So that steering committee would be focused on monitoring how we're doing on the goals of the plan and kind of a sounding board. We're looking for really the movers and shakers, the influence shapers of Concord, to be on that steering committee. And we're in the process of soliciting them, and then the city will hopefully appoint them in October at the city council meeting.
So that'll be a sort of a cross-functional group of people. Will you be creating like a dashboard metric to determine if your organization has had an impact?
Absolutely. And we're still in the process of doing all that. But absolutely, we want to get some very good data about the people in Concord and what the outcomes are. And again, that can be hard to track because someone can disappear. You don't know whether they got housing or if they just moved on.
I want to give an example of one concrete way that we could track our progress. So we've had these extraordinary partners in First and South Congregational Churches providing this cold weather shelter now for 10 years. And as they forecast to us that their commitment is now going to be winding down because they never intended 10 years ago to make this a multi-decade commitment, then we've needed to start crunching the numbers, as Ellen referred to, who's using the shelter, who's using these cold weather shelters the most. And it's led us to a number, also partnering with the Bureau of Homeless and Housing Services, that we probably have 50 to 60 chronically homeless people in Concord, people who are camping, people who have been homeless, perhaps they are substance abusing or mentally ill, who have been homeless for a substantial part of the last couple of years. As we design solutions for this particular group of homelessness, we will be able to see whether the number of chronically homeless people in Concord is going down.
Great. Now, in goal number two, Ellen, increase quality rental units for low-income families. We've obviously had Rosemary from Catch on this radio show. So is there some interface with the Catch organization?
Yes, and I've met with Rosemary, and they are a great organization. I think that what we need in Concord, though, is some organization or some collaboration of organizations that can create housing that's affordable to people of even lower incomes than what Catch is geared towards.
Great. Now, Maggie, you mentioned that the cold weather shelters don't want to continue indefinitely, although the reality is there's probably going to be a need for it. So what's the longer-term solution?
So I think the churches that have been providing the cold weather shelter want to shift their contribution. We will see them very much engaged in whatever the next steps are, but it won't be in that form. So the longer-term response is if we can actually house the people who have relied the most on the cold weather shelter, then what we need to create it as a community is a much smaller sized emergency response to winter shelter needs when our permanent emergency shelters are full, as they often are.
Okay, let's talk about your website and upcoming event. Your website is ConcordHomeless.org, and will that give us updates on the how you're doing, Ellen, with the plan implementation?
Yes, absolutely. And we're still revising and revamping our website daily. It's a relatively new website. If you haven't been on there in a while, it'll look very different to you. And we're still tweaking with it. But all of that information about meetings that we have around implementing the solutions in the plan, that'll all be available for people to see on the website. And some is available now.
Great. And if someone wanted to donate, they could go on ConcordHomeless.org.
Yes, absolutely. Please
Perfect.
Do.
Now tell us about in the winter, and you do a soup fest in the spring, a walk in their shoes. Can you give us 20 seconds on each?
Mm-hmm. Soup fest is a ton of fun. We get celebrity soup chefs. We've had the mayor. We've had other Concord luminaries making their favorite variety of soup. And then we just fill the lovely space at South Church, and people pay us, buy a bowl of soup and stay and enjoy time with their friends, and it raises
money
good
for
money.
The coalition. Perfect. Yeah. And how about Walk in Their Shoes?
Well, on Walk in Their Shoes, we have a new volunteer who's working with us, and we're trying to decide. We had a meeting this morning whether we're going to do another walk or have another different type of event in the spring. So that's evolving, but we'll be doing something big in the spring.
And that'll people can find that out by going on ConcordHomeless.org website.
Yes.
Ellen and Maggie, you've done a great job of explaining the problem. People become homeless for different reasons. I like to say, like, to some extent, we're all sometimes just one paycheck away from being homeless or using the friendly kitchen. So this is an important piece of work you're doing for the community. We're lucky to have you. Again, ConcordHomeless.org. Ellen Groh, Executive Director. Maggie Fogarty, Board Member. Thank you so much for joining me this mid-September.
Thank you.
Tom Raffio will return next week with more of Northeast Delta Dental Radio.